的是李贝李帅是你吗
Rattle me Pete
Oh you're right mate
I've had a bit of coffee
Had a bit of a gurgle there going
I'm gonna punch you in the face
Oh wow
Yeah
This has turned into some kind of shoot composition
hasn't it Why that is
Because we watched some boxing yesterday
No
Watch Anthony Joshua
It's because I've heard you bad mouthing my wife It's because we are talking
It's worse than good mouthing someone's wife
It is the brawl for all, Pete. Wow, baby.
Wow, wow, we were, in the words of Borat.
Have you ever worked at, like, for example, a radio station and begun thinking, what would it be like if everyone had to fight?
Yes, I have. Frequently in meetings with certain people. I shan't name, but want to.
I do think, like, it does seem a bit like, you know, everyone knows The Purge. Everyone knows Battle Royale. I don't think there's... I'm surprised that no one's gone, we are actually having a compulsory work fight.
Yes.
There's a tournament. Sort of, it's a bracket. We're not doing Secret Santa. This year, you pull out your opponent. And it will be a year-long tournament. Mm-hmm. And at the end, the winner will get 6 months paid off work. Right? Would you take part?
I mean, I'd be out in the first round, but oh, I'd have a good time. I would have a good old time.
And you see, look, also, the other thing is, yeah, you'd be out in the first round and everything, but think of all those matches you get to watch.
No, you'd see all, every...
It would be amazing.
Wouldn't it?
I'm not saying, like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, pandemic, Brexit, broken Britain, all that. But...
Underground Factory.
If you are listening to this and you do own a company...
Yeah.
Just consider it.
Get them hopped up on coke.
Yeah. If nothing else, it's going to make a lot of papers.
Yeah.
And there'll be eyes on your business.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I realise now it was illegal. You know, but
KPMG didn't need that kind of heat.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
You know, I mean, yes, it is illegal, but, you know, the quality of garden furniture that we are producing... Just goes to show that, you know, you can...
That should, our QA should be illegal after this fight that's really cleared the air for a lot of us.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea.
No.
That's what I've learnt from The Purge and Battle Royal, is I've always watched it at the end and went, might work.
Might work.
But, I mean, but you know, that is actually what happens here.
Yeah.
So the WWF Brawl for All... exciting a concept and terrible a reality.
The idea versus what actually happened in it could not have been further apart. What they thought it was going to be, it's like ordering something off wish.com or like a bad Chinese website, and you sort of comes and it's a pair of sunglasses and you ordered a computer. It's just toss.
It is. I mean, it is actually quite remarkable that it turned out as badly as it did. I mean,
it's just astonishing that they managed to make this so bad.
I mean, I will say this. Now, everyone is always like, Brawl for All, worst concept of all time. It's been talked about as being the biggest disaster in WWE history.
Right, okay,
that it is just the worst idea. I still maintain it's a fucking exciting idea.
It's a great idea.
It's a really good idea.
If they could find people who could...
Yes.
It's like watching those Logan Paul kind of YouTube kind of like matches, and you see people like Mayweather come in, and he's obviously going to be fighting Logan Paul soon. Imagine if, right, the biggest turn and the biggest turn out a weird thing would be if Mayweather actually turned up and he did the things he is capable of.
Yeah.
Imagine
killing
Logan Paul in a ring. So and sort of saying the message, I may have treated my career with a light touch.
Yeah.
And you may have been expecting one version of Floyd Mayweather, but you've expected the big show, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
But what I've actually told is the trained fist killer that I've been building up to.
I mean, there is that thing of, yes, this is all fun and games and everything. I mean, this came up with the Conor McGregor match, whether Mayweather, you know, might have sort of not realised... Well, I don't want to knock him out in 3 seconds, you know, and whether or not he allowed a certain amount of leeway. Mm. That is the decision that a professional athlete can make. There is nothing really in boxing that says you have to knock out your opponent. You can go, well, you know, you have to use tactics. And what that means is you can do what you like, right?
Yeah.
But it would be good if he just came out and he just went, I know I've been doing that through my career, and that's been very professional, and it's been beneficial to me.
Made a lot of money,
But I'm tired of making money, and now I just want to do something new. And
that killer is boy.
Killer boy. who should not be
alive. Should not be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I maintain...
Take him to the Japanese forest of the ring.
Yeah.
You can string
do
him
up. One of his tasteless videos there. I would maintain, I mean, you know, this idea was brilliant. And I don't think it's like a clever idea. I think it's an obvious idea.
Yeah.
But it could have been so exciting.
Yeah.
I do remember I'd fallen out of watching wrestling at this time. And I remember hearing about it years later where they were like, and they had a shoot fight tournament. You're like, are you fucking joking? Mm. And it's like, yeah, you know, Dr. Death gets knocked out. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is thrilling.
Yeah.
What the problem with this is it is the worst combination of doing, if you like, mixed martial arts, where they're hampered by a lot of different things. They're hampered by boxing gloves, so you can't really get a clean knockout. They're hampered by the rules, which are stupid.
Well, I mean, the rules are just, I mean, so most punches per round, 5 points.
Yeah.
A takedown is 5 points. Now, yeah. There are certain matches, and it happens a lot in the, I think, Marvelous Mark Merrill, which is insane to see him. How we've been used to consuming that man's matches recently.
I know.
Dressed as Little Richard.
Yep.
To now, stop hitting Little Richard. Stop hitting Little Richard. And so it's been him and Blackman. And Blackman, I think, has a lot of takedowns.
He does. Like,
and so why wouldn't you try and do that constantly? Because most punches per round, not really helpful.
Well, that's 5 points.
Say. That's 5 points.
You get two takedowns and then you've won.
You could fit in. Yeah, exactly. So that's 5 points. Or you can try and punch them to death, which is 5 points maximum per round, or yeah, you can take them down.
Yeah.
So just try and do that all the
time.
And
what you get is you get in the Blackman match, which is an early one. He takes Mero down so
several
often
times, yeah,
that actually Mero's suddenly like, okay, well, the only way I can win is a knockout.
Yeah.
And so you're just going for a knockout. And Blackman is like, well, if I keep taking him down, he can't knock me out. So it's just like, oh, well, this match has ended in 10
yeah
seconds.
Yeah.
It was the creation of Vince Russo, who was the WWF's then writer. He's given different explanations as to how it came about. He said that Bradshaw, better known probably as JBL these days, but Bradshaw began carrying on that he could take anybody in the company or in the locker room in a real bar fight. So I pitched the whole idea of the Brawl for All. Last year, he did. There was an episode of Dark Side of the Ring, the documentary series on this, and Russo expanded on that in a way that he'd never done before, which slightly makes it sound like he might be making up back history. He said, I thought Bradshaw had a big mouth. I thought he was full of himself and I thought he was a bully. We were backstage at a show one day and John Layfield made the comment that if this were real, I'd beat everybody's ass in the locker room. So now I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you braggadocious bully bastard.
If no one's ever said that, braggadocious bully bastard, he's gone back and changed that, hasn't he? Yeah.
I know of at least 10 guys in this locker room who'll kick your ass. So I went to Vince McMahon and I proposed the idea for the Brawl for All. What had also happened at this time, and they don't really talk about this, which they should, they do mention the fact that at this period, 88 to 99, WWE is going up like a rocket. You've got Stone Cold Steve Austin, you've got The Undertaker, you've got Bret Hart, you've got big stars, or Bret Hart has just left after the Survivor Series, and so that's put a lot of eyes onto the product. It's an exciting time. They're mixing the real and the fake, and what they've got is they've got a load of guys signed up who they don't really have time to do anything with. They can't really put them on the big show. They're good hands and everything. And so what they think is they go, well, we've got some tough guys here. We could make easily one of them a massive star through this tournament, and the other ones, because they're big brawny guys, it should be spectacular. Mm. Also, the other thing that was going on at the time was UFC. So UFC is entering its seventh year and it is starting to become more popular. Early UFC is almost unwatchable because it's loads of people doing, like, you know, just keeping people on the ground for an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is painfully bad to watch. And the other thing that they've got is WWF has signed two of the biggest names from the early UFC. They've signed Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn. Shamrock is interesting because obviously you'd be like, well, he's from UFC. Why isn't he in this tournament?
Yeah.
Well, participation in the tournament was voluntary. And Ken Shamrock said, I'm not going to take part in this.
I didn't come over here to do this.
Well, his point was, why am I going to fight four times and risk being knocked out so that you can give me 75 grand?
Yeah.
He's like, if I want to fight once, I can do it and I can get 300 grand if I go to UFC.
Yeah.
So why am I going to do it for a fifth of the price and I have to do four times as much? He was just like,
and risk my own product.
Yeah. If I get knocked out in this, then Jesus Christ, you know, I've totally destroyed my whole thing. The whole point is this is predetermined. Absolutely worth saying as well. I mean, the whole thing about having a shoot tournament within wrestling, one of wrestling's great assets is that you can predetermine what the results are. That makes doing a sport a lot easier.
Mm.
And what they've done here is they've gone, well, we'll strip that out. what we're left with is hard men performers and athletes. The problem is as well, athletes, I mean, wrestling is a very different art form to like MMA or boxing or even like amateur wrestling. And what you've got here is a load of guys who have been around for 20 years who are tough men.
Yeah.
But what they are is they get into bar fights. Yeah. Or they...
And no one's filming them and checking form, are they? No one's going... No. Well, you're just wailing your arms around, and you've like, and you are a tough, and you are a tough guy, but the technique is embarrassing.
I mean, what you end up with basically is you end up with untrained people doing MMA and boxing instead of doing the thing that they've actually been trained to do, which is wrestling.
Mm.
And so when they come out, you suddenly realise this guy can't fucking box.
No,
this guy can't do MMA. I mean, it's just Hawk is a really good example of this because Hawk comes out and Hawk is what Hawk was doing in this fucking thing, I have no idea.
Money. You want the money.
In the first year that he owned Zubas, the stretchy Lycra weightlifting things, he made personally $2 million.
Oh, well.
He was a headliner from 84 all the way through to at least 1992. Mm. He's signed with WCW. He's signed with WWF. There is never a point where he isn't high up in the card or on a big money deal.
Right.
Why are you suddenly going for 75 grand? I'll have a go at this. It's just mad. And he comes out and he's just like a proper, you know, puncher's chance. He's just like a windmill.
Wailing about it. Yeah.
There goes my legacy. Knock that out. Hey. I mean, it's just astonishing. Dan Severn, he does take part in this. He was the other performer. And he basically has that thing of just, well, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
So he just has a very, very boring match, which, of course, he also had in UFC. He was very, very boring.
Mm.
He would just, you know, hold people slowly like they'd lose the will to live. And what he actually said was he does a promo a bit later on where he says, I'm pulling out because I have nothing left to prove. And if I want to settle matters, then I do it without being constrained by boxing gloves.
Mm.
The reality seems to be that WWE said to him, you can't be in this anymore. He did one and they were like, no, you are going to win this. And that is not what we want. Again, they've taken away the predetermined nature of it. You know,
yeah. Well, they've tried to put it back in, I guess, because obviously they had... Who were they hoping that was going to win? It was Steve...
Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Yeah. And, so he was like...
And this is... this is a fascinating sort of story. So, Steve Williams, again, had been a huge star for most of his career. He was in Mid-South Wrestling and very famously, he I think he ran into the ring post and he had to go off to get 108 stitches in his upper eye.
Yeah.
And he came back to wrestle that evening. So he was a legendary tough guy. He'd done amateur wrestling. He'd been an NFL player, I believe, in the Oklahoma Sooners. That could be an AFL. I'm not quite sure. But it was certainly, you know, a big team at the time.
Yeah.
And he was just known as being a really, really tough guy. He'd spent many years in Japan, where he was one of the biggest foreign stars. And he was having high-level matches all through his career. He was also a very, very close friend of Jim Ross. Jim Ross from Oklahoma as well. They were naturally sort of obsessed with football, the two of them. And throughout their careers, Jim Ross and Dr. Death Steve Williams were very closely linked. At this point, Jim Ross is in charge of talent. And he brings in Dr. Death Steve Williams. And they have the idea that what we should be doing is getting Dr. Death over quickly because he is a money program with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
So they basically have booked this for Dr. Death to win. The Godfather said later that Dr. Death was paid the full winner's purse of, I think, 75 grand after his first match. They were so certain that he was going to win. I mean, he puts on some entertaining matches. He's not always on the right side of the victory for WWE. But we'll have a look through. I mean, the whole tenor of this is it's a great idea. And every single one of the matches, everyone in it looks panicky. They look drunk.
They look out of their, completely
so,
out of their.
Why is everyone so stressed? You watch it and it's like, oh, there's Johnny B. Bad.
Yeah.
You're like, why is Johnny B. Bad under so much pressure?
Why is he frowning so much?
Why is
Johnny
he looking
B. Bad?
Why? And you know, there's so many bits as well where they look at camera and you just go, oh, they're really mean. I don't like any of this.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Jim Ross, in one of these bits, also compares this concept. He compares it to being as important an industry-changing moment as the introduction of pay-per-view. And it's, fucking hell. The first ever Brawl for All. Although Jim Ross calls it the first ever Brawl for It All. He says, a unique combination between wrestling and boxing. A knockout ends the bout. And yes. Jerry Lawler comes in and goes, a knockdown? like that. And Jerry Lawler goes, knockout. Jim Ross goes, knockout. And there's a pause and he goes, when the rules are very simple.
When Lawler is correcting your admin.
I know.
At the opening of this thing, you're like, oh, mate, you fucked.
Everyone also comes out, instead of to their theme tunes, they come out to generic sort of like driving rock. You know, in radio, you get those CDs that are sort of like beds.
Yeah, these are beds.
And they always sort of will say something like, and this would be, I don't know, this would be called something
electric
like
electric shower.
Yeah, Velvet Thunder or something. And it has a little description of it. And it
it's
would
just
say.
Like the Turbo Outrun video again.
Yeah. Atmospheric driving cymbals.
Yes.
It says like that. Yeah. And this is so off the peg generic. Everyone, these men have their own theme tunes.
Mm.
You don't need to bring them out to just this bland fucking thing, which also slightly sort of sets out this whole thing of just going, I suppose what they're trying to do is they're going, this is different. These are not, they're not in character now. But, I mean, they are, though. It's still the Godfather.
I know.
At one point, he offers people prostitutes, which is a really strange thing. But again, we'll get to it. But Jesus Christ, when the Godfather's going, if you throw this match, I'll give you three of my hoes, like that. And the guys go, no. And he goes, okay, then let's legitimately fight. Such a gear change. The first match is Steve Blackman versus Mark Merrow. Steve Blackman was called the Lethal Weapon. He suffered from a lack of personality.
Right.
He also suffered because I think they brought him in before they brought in Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn. And they brought him in as kind of like an Ultimate Fighter character. And then they got two real ones. And he was a bit like, well, I'm sort of falling between the slats here. And we get Mark Merrow, the former Johnny B. Badd.
Yeah.
He had a legitimate background in boxing. He was a New York State Golden Gloves boxing champion. I mean, Steve Blackman absolutely ruins his day here. Just doing those takedowns really sort of... I think the opening takedown is really good. And you go, this is going to be a thrilling spectacle.
But you're just like, let Mark Merrow hit you. I want to see somebody do something proper.
Do a flurry.
23
seconds into this match. So 23 minutes after the first... 23 seconds, rather, after the first bell has rung. You hear someone in the crowd just go, boring. 23 seconds of that guy had seen through the whole thing. He's just like, I know, I realise that this is the shit. Jim Ross keeps on as well saying, unique concept, the guys, I'm versed in it. And he says that continuously through this tournament.
Mm.
If you watch them, originally they went out over a series of weeks. I think it ran from August 98 through to 99. So they were just in sort of parts of bigger roars.
Mm.
But we have got a compilation DVD.
Oh, Mark tricked over an ISO file. I have not opened an ISO file for a very long time.
Welcome to 1999 DVDs that were burned at the time and have been circulating as ISOs ever since.
Lovely.
Yeah, it ran from June the 29th, 1998 till August. So it was a couple of months.
Mm.
It's 15 matches in total. 8 first round ones, 4 quarterfinals, 2 semis, and 1 final. That is the first match, but it is horrible seeing Johnny B. Badd, Mark Merrow, look so
bad.
Stressed. he had a. There is a thing as well that I think I don't like about this as well, which is it talks slightly about the desperation of the people who are in this,
who are having
to do it.
Stone Cold Steve Austin isn't taken.
You don't see The Undertaker here for all his talk
about.
I'd be great at MMA. You know,
you had your chance, dickhead.
Yeah. If you didn't take part in the Brawl for All and you were in WWE at the time,
and you were of all an age, mouth and no of an
trousers.
Age where you could probably do it.
Yeah, exactly that. It is just, but you suddenly realise, you go, well, Mark Merrow, I mean, when he moved over as Johnny B. Badd, they just didn't know what he was. They couldn't find anything as charismatic as the WCW gimmick he'd had.
Yeah.
And so they just sort of went, you're marvellous Mark Merrow. And it was just like, what am I?
Mm.
What am I? You can see by 1998, he's got to the point where he's going, I need to stand out in some way. I am a good fighter.
Yeah.
I'll do this. But it's just, I don't know, there's a bit sort of like, again, it's a bit like Battle Royal, where you're sort of just going, you know, all of you have to just, 3 of you will die, but the other 7 will be given another year's contract. And it just feels a bit like that, you're having to go into this. At the end of the second round, the crowd are already chanting, we want wrestling, we want wrestling. Steve Blackman, he won the bout, so he does all those takedowns that give him the points that, you know, Mark Merrow cannot sort of knock him out in time. Brilliantly, of course, he didn't go through to the next round because he got an injury sustained in training.
Nice.
So they just said to Mark Merrow, you're back in. Such a fucking mess. The second match is Bradshaw versus Mean Mark Canterbury. A member of a short-lived tag team here called Southern Justice. They were better known when they were dressed as hillbillies. as the Godwins. Mark Canterbury, one of the Undertaker's friends, he last turned up at Survivor Series to do the Undertaker's retirement farewell. Slightly wore a sort of hint of the Godwin thing. Glad he didn't wear a hint of the Southern Justice thing.
Yeah,
because I think nowadays that's not different. Acceptable. out comes Bradshaw, who is he's good at the staring down. He does think he's a hard man, Bradshaw, and he flails away like a fucking scarecrow.
It just seems like a lot. So Bradshaw's kind of skill just seems to be plant your back leg and just wail and just hope completely. that you're being very tall and very rangy will probably connect a few.
He's got a typical bully mentality of just going, I am bigger than you.
Yeah.
And what I will do is I will just, you know, it's hit and hope and it's just everything and nothing.
Yeah.
So it's just that thing of, I will just wail on you.
I'm annoyed how deep in this competition he went.
Yeah.
I'm really annoyed.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it is incredible as you go through, you just go, at no point do you show any aptitude for fighting the thing that you continually go on about.
Yeah.
He shows no aptitude at all. He's just lucky that everyone else is quite bad at this. They're all of a similar bad level. This one is still boring as a bout, but it is also quite wild, and that makes it more exciting.
It was
than
certainly a lot more exciting than the first match.
It's worth saying, I mean, they do 3 1-minute rounds, and that is both too short and much too long.
Yeah.
The thing that really gets me is the bell is never not ringing, because it rings at the start, and then it rings at the end, and then it rings to start the next one. It rings and it rings, and it just doesn't stop. It's just. It's slightly like watching what people who don't watch wrestling would think wrestling was, which is two big, lumpy men just going in there and showing no skill or athleticism and just like, oh, it's so shit. Match three is Bracus versus Savio Vega.
Poor Bracus.
Poor Bracus.
Poor Bracus.
He didn't have a very long WWE career. He was a German guy from Munster. And it was at a time when they just liked the way he looked. They thought, oh, muscular. Exciting. He'd been a bodybuilder. Savio Vega, big Puerto Rican star. And just a good performer. Savio Vega's the one who comes in here who really looks tasty.
He does look like a boxer.
He really does. There's something about his whole demeanor where I think he's the first one we've seen who doesn't seem to be pro wrestling at all. He's like, I am going to have to try and kill someone because otherwise I'm not going to be around here long. This one is quite good.
Yeah, that one's quite good, yeah.
Yeah, Savio Vega really does knock Bracus around.
Bracus. Does he hurt him? Because he sustains an injury, doesn't he, Bracus, out of this?
He did, yeah. Later, it was claimed, Savio Vega said that having talked to Bracus, and Bracus was not aware at any point that the Brawl for All was a shoot tournament. He thought it was all just part of worked wrestling.
Right.
Which is slightly why in this, he looks so alarmed by it. He was German. I think there was just a little bit of lost in translation. So he went out for this thing and he's probably like, you know, oh yes, we'll do some kicks, you know. We'll do some tassel. And Savio Vega is punching him in the face again and again. And he's like, what is happening?
I was not expecting this.
I signed a pro wrestling contract.
This is not what I was expecting.
It's a pro wrestling contract. It's a man hitting me in the head. But yeah, I mean, Bracus had one match after this and they let him go.
Right.
100% worth saying as well why this was such a disaster is it exposed a load of people. They after Bracus is so badly dominated by lower mid carder Savio Vega, it's very difficult
nowhere
to go.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a main event now.
Yeah.
You know, you've just he did look panicked as well. Amazing. the fourth match is Bombastic Bob versus Bodacious Bart.
Ooh la la!
They are two mid carders in a tag team called the New Midnight Express. Bart, Bodacious Bart, had previously been Bart Gunn, who was in the tag team, the Smoking Guns, former tag team champions. And Bombastic Bob was Bob Holly. He had been a race car driver as Thurman Sparky Plug, and he would later become better known as Hardcore Holly.
Yes.
And this, he's got long, lustrous locks. By 1999, I would say the nicknames Bombastic Bob and Bodacious Bart were at least 8 years out of date.
Yeah, it's a bit Simpsons, isn't it?
Excruciating. You can also tell that they did not imagine that either of these men would do well. So they are tag team partners, which is why they put them against each other. There is a sense that had they known one of them would turn out to be really good, they would not have gone through the stages each week of modifying his name ever so slightly, so that by the time we get to the final, it ends up being a name that is at least not embarrassing.
Yeah.
But they do that slowly. And Bob Holly, famous as a sort of bully, he bullied a lot of people in the 2000s. He was a mean and shitty bloke. So I enjoyed seeing him get a pasting in this. He gets some. It was also worth saying, a shit bout.
Yeah.
It wasn't very entertaining. It was just nice to see a bully get hit. Mm. JR says they're out of their element. Obviously, he has to do that because this is not watchable. they get back into a little bit of a tussle after Bart wins on points. Mm. They get into a tussle at the end, and I think it is legitimate.
Yeah.
So Bart sort of goes over to kind of go, well fought. And Bob Holly just does a sort of big pushycat swipe in his face with the boxing glove. And Bart is like, who the fuck do you think you're doing? And they have to pull them apart. And it does actually look, if it was rigged, I think there would have been less people running into the ring immediately.
Yes.
But they get in that ring bloody quickly to pull them apart. I mean, the worst thing that would happen after 3 minutes of telling them to legitimately fight is they legitimately fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you wanted. That's what you'll get.
Take your gloves off.
Yeah. They did, I mean, whether it was an attempt, I think, on you know Bob Holly's part to kind of go, this is a program, isn't it? We're doing nothing. But, you know, if we get into a scrap, they'll have to have a match, a pay-per-view, maybe. instead, what happened is they just brought in their manager, Jim Cornette, a week later and just went, well, this tag team's broken up. That sorted him. The fifth match is Dan Severn from the UFC versus The Godfather. Mm. Boring chants go through. Dan Severn, an elite wrestler, MMA performer. The Godfather, clearly really handy.
Mm.
But they've matched him against Dan Severn. This is like Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. There is, you know, no way that Godfather was going to win this match.
Yeah.
And it turns out that, I mean, Godfather does turn out to be one of the better performers in this whole tournament. The We Want Wrestling chant starts. And Godfather in this looks just sad and confused. He doesn't know. I think suddenly he's done it and he's just like, I thought this was going to be fun.
Yeah.
But none of this is fun.
No.
And the crowd hate it. And Dan Severn, I'm scared of. and this is boring and I'm stressed and it's just awful. Dan Severn wins again by points, but he pulls out saying, I've got nothing to prove. Stroke was told he couldn't take any further part in the tournament.
Mm.
I should imagine that was slightly because they were like, we don't want him to win and we don't want to give him extra money. You know, but we want Dr. Death to win. And if Dr. Death goes up against Dan Severn, Dr. Death will not win.
Yeah.
Or they probably thought, there's a chance Dr. Death won't win. They really over-egged how good he was. The Godfather, therefore, like Mark Mero, ends up in the next round as well because Dan Severn has pulled out.
Mm.
So, already, what are we, five matches in? Fun and minutes. We've got two people who are losers are going through to the next round. Match number six, Quebecca Pierre versus Dr. Death Steve Williams. Well,
can I hear a little bit of Quebecca Pierre, please?
Yeah. Quebecca Pierre, one of the tag team, the Quebecers, former tag team champions. His partner was the Mountie. And
at this point,
he's between two gimmicks. So he's both in the Quebecers tag team after his first run in the Quebecers, he became Jean-Pierre Lafitte, who was a pirate.
Right.
And then he got the eye patch. They've been gone for a while. I think they've even gone to WCW. And they've come back. And he's basically going, I'm called Quebecca Pierre, but I've still got vestiges of the pirate gimmick of Jean-Pierre Lafitte. Just strange. He keeps on his fucking gimmick eye patch in a legitimate shoot match. Don't tell me that wasn't something that the WWF said to him, you've got to wear the eye patch.
You've got to wear the eye patch.
You've got to wear it. And he goes, all right, who am I up against? And I'm going, it's Dr. Death Steve Williams. So right, could it be that it would be good if Dr. Death was literally matched against a one-eyed man?
Yes, who had no kind of distance.
No peripheral vision.
No distance perception.
Quebecca Pierre gets hit a lot of times on the blind side, and he doesn't realise that the fist is hitting him until it's already struck.
Yeah.
And you can see him wincing every time. There is that thing about, you know, if you can see the punch, it rarely knocks you out because, you know, your body, in the milliseconds that it happens, is already taking its sort of, you know, plant here, recoil there, tense that bit. You know, all those tiny bits that you're not even aware of happening. He's just basically like, I can do that, but only 50% of my body will do that. If you do go for the other side, I will just have no idea.
I'll take it,
there is no way for me to brace myself in any way. Worth saying that Quebecca Pierre, who is thumped around something legendary in this match, it's worth saying that he is still performing at a high level. He is in Ring of Honor at the minute as PCO, which is the initials of his real name, Pierre-Carl Ouellette. And he's 52, I think, and he came back really a couple of years ago because he was performing moonsaults to the outside of the ring and stuff, and they developed a character which was essentially he's like a Frankenstein's monster, and his sort of catchphrase is PCO is not human. And slightly, you know, stuff like this builds the legend. I think he's one of those performers who nobody has ever appreciated until he's really at the end of his career. Mm. And certainly at this point, you'd never be going, I hope in 20 years' time I'm watching Quebecer Pierre. But going back and watching this, you go, he has always been fucking legit, you know. And you can look at it now in context and go, he was put into a position there which is absolutely lunatic. Mm. Jim Ross on Dark Side of the Ring said Carl Ouellette had sight in one eye. Should he have been in the Brawl for All? Hell no. What were we thinking? You know, what were you thinking? You were thinking about getting your mate to the fucking finals,
exactly.
You two-faced bastard. The crowd do actually clap after round one of this. It is full of action. Dr. Death comes out like, he's like Oliver Reed. He's like a really drunk Oliver Reed. And he's just like all fucking limbs and just face. There's a bit where he's going, come on, come on, you know, one-eyed man, keep that in mind, one-eyed man. And he's being cocky. He's also a fucking dirty fighter, Steve Williams, so he repeatedly hits Pierre in the back of the head.
Right.
In UFC, that would be a disqualification the second time you did it. It's just too fucking dangerous. And when Pierre is covering up and, you know, can't see out of one side of his eye,
you're just hitting him in the back.
Dr. Death is aiming for the back of his head, you know, trying to sever, basically, his skull from his spine. You know, I suppose, you know, hey, I'm called Dr. Death. What do you fucking expect? I euthanize. The referee stops the match. And, I mean, you know, it is a fair call. Pierre is really, really has his bell rung in this. And poor fucking sod. Match seven is Scorpio versus 8-Ball. 8-Ball, one of the Harris brothers. He's one of the guys with the SS tattoos.
Ah, yes.
It's nice to see him getting a thump. I've only seen this version as a clipped match. I don't know whether they dropped it from the original thing or whether my copy only had a clipped. But clipped? Fucking exciting.
It was fun.
Yeah. Scorpio, famous as being quite a hard man. He was famous for being, you know, his career. He was an amazing, innovative high flyer. But he was also tough, and he wins this one by points. I must admit, from the clips they showed, it didn't look like he should have done. But I'm pleased he did. And then we have the very final match of the first round, which is Hawk versus Droz. Droz, best known really as a performer for the fact that he was really tragically paralyzed in a WWF ring
right.
in a match against D'Lo Brown. And he lost use of everything beneath his neck, basically. It was one of those things that, you know, I don't think anyone was to blame. There was a move that was taken that had been done many, many times before. And it just so happened on this one that the stars had aligned that the positions they landed in were wrong. D'Lo Brown, it haunted him for his career. He found it, you know, it absolutely, you know, destroyed him.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, that was very little compared to what, you know, happened with Droz's life. And Droz does remain fully paralyzed. So a really sad thing. He is very, you know, it's very difficult to watch a Droz match without that hanging over
that,
it,
yeah.
You know. You can see that he was a game young man. You know, he's going up against Hawk here, they were sort of in the Legion of Doom together. They were running a sort of storyline that Droz was going to replace Hawk. Mm. So again, with a storyline angle, this was quite a natural thing to do. I mean, the two of them, though, they go in at such full pelt that by round two, they've just had that adrenaline dump and they are so gassed. There is so much gassing throughout all this tournament. That's the other thing to say. They don't look like athletes. They look like fat drunks, all of them. And they're wheezing. And I mean, Bradshaw is the king of this once we get past the first round.
Yeah.
But they are so out of shape for this sort of thing. It's 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Hawk has his nose broken by the end of round two.
Yeah.
And he's just
pretty wonking it.
Puffed out. It's just. And after all that, it ends in a draw. I mean, you know, how could one of them not have done some more punches than the other?
I know.
You know, it's just appalling. Darren Drozdov ends up advancing because a Hawk is injured during the bout and doesn't take any further part in that. Jim Ross on Dark Side of the Ring said, I don't remember who the first injury was, but it was the first of several. They came one after the other. I dreaded having another night of Brawl for All matches because you never knew who was going to get hurt tonight. It seemed to be inevitable. Yeah. I mean, it would be. I mean, often when you put them in that ring. Yeah, yeah, and often when you put people who don't like have the skills into doing something which, you know, takes some skill, that, you know, you're going to end up taking a lot of physical damage.
Yeah.
You can imagine that, you know, not being trained for that. Yeah, there will be fucking injuries, you dickhead. Oh, it annoys me.
I hated putting that untrained pilot in that plane. I hated it. All my untrained firemen.
You know, and I look back now and I think, why did we do that? You know, why did we do that? We go to the quarterfinals. We get Dr. Death Steve Williams versus, this time, Midnight Express member Bodacious Bart.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
They're beginning to sort of go...
Uh-oh.
Well, there is an uh-oh there, because he's not just Bodacious Bart, but there's also a sense of going, this guy needs to know his place.
Yeah, you okay, know. Right.
Let's not think we're going to go in there and beat Dr. Death Steve Williams. if it's to be believed by the Godfather, we've already paid the money to Dr. Steve Williams. So I don't want to have to ask for it back.
No, exactly.
I mean, he is the hardest man in the WWF. Williams is strong, he is tough, and he is a brawler, but what he isn't is someone with any skill at all. But Bart did have a background, you see, in local Iron
Man. Embarrassing men.
He was a sort of like guy who'd take part in Iron Man competitions and strongman competitions. The sort of thing that, you know, if you mentioned to Vince McMahon, he'd go, that sounds pony.
Running around.
Yeah, oh, my, that's so bargain basement. You know, and you're like, well, you know, maybe it'll come in useful one day. Yeah, I doubt it. Out he comes. And he is one of the only people who looks like an athlete in the whole thing. At the start of round three, the scores that they've got are Dr. Death Steve Williams is on 15 points and Bart is on 5.
Right.
There's a bit where Bart takes him down and Jim Ross just shouts, that is not a takedown. like that. And the referee sort of goes, yep, takedown counts. And they're like, oh, don't believe it. Don't believe it. It literally is a takedown. Yeah. I mean, it couldn't be more a takedown. Mm. Suddenly, though, at the end of round two, Williams has done his hamstring in.
Right.
On one of the takedowns, his leg has just bopped. And he gets his hamstring injury and suddenly he's hobbling.
Mm.
And what happens then is, regardless really of whether he's hobbling or not, Bart knocks him the fuck out. We get our first KO. And Williams, worse for Williams, he doesn't just get knocked out and he's on his back. They have a shot of him. His eyes are glassy and his mouth guard has been knocked out and it just sort of like goes out of his mouth. And it's just, you are... I mean, this guy had been a main eventer easily for the last decade. You know, they could have put him in with Stone Cold in any manner of ways. And what you end up with is you destroy his aura. Mm. It's absolutely destroyed. Williams never came back from this. He never came back. You know, that was the shot heard around the world to some degree. He got knocked out and he laid on the floor and he was unconscious and his eyes were wide open and his gum shield went plop, plop, plop down his mouth. It is just excruciating. After the match is over and Williams is there, there's a bit where you see him get knocked out and Jim Ross is still trying to make it seem like Dr. Death Steve Williams has won.
Yeah.
So he goes, oh, he's been tagged before. Like that. Jim, he's unconscious. It's, you know, he's been knocked out before. Great, he's knocked out now.
Yeah.
Oh, and they keep on going on about the strange environment that these wrestlers should be in. And Lawler, the following week when it opens, they sort of go, big upset last week. And Lawler goes, well, I mean, Dr. Death was ahead on points. They are still sort of going, we cannot adjust to this new world where Dr. Death Steve Williams...
We can't get behind some other decision being made because, you know, they can't get behind...
Midnight Express member Bodacious Bart. Yeah, because that wasn't what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Your sport is predetermined. If you'd have wanted that to happen, you could have made it fucking happen. Oh, my God. We'll rattle through the next ones because they are all boring. It's hard to... All of this sounds sort of fun.
It's weird how they managed to make it so shit.
Oh, it's incredible. You get Godfather versus Scorpio. At this point, now Williams is knocked out, they're just like, I don't fucking care.
Oh, just get this done.
So the Godfather comes in and offers 3 hoes to Scorpio. And Scorpio, I don't know if he'd even been told about it in advance, but it would have been much better if he'd gone, yeah, I'll do that.
Yes.
You know, that is
bang
fantastic.
Away in the corner of the ring.
Completely.
This is worth watching, though.
And the Godfather is better here. He's really sort of found his, you know, his swing. He's back in the swing of it. But he's going up against Scorpio, who is not seen as being like a top contender.
No.
So he's taking a lot of punishment and he can't sort of knock out a guy who you've been told for years is not very good.
Mm.
You know, all of this stuff is so damaging. someone's got a laser pen as well, and while this is going on, rather than watching it, they're just trying to get it on the back of one of the hose heads. It's just like, you see quite a lot of laser pens.
Oh, Lord.
They're all chanting boring by the end. The next match is Droz, who is now being billed as Darren Drozdov, versus Savio Vega. Mm. They mentioned it at the start. They go, Savio coming off a neck injury. He should not be doing this.
Yeah,
he shouldn't be doing this. They are all fumbling and slipping. And suddenly, without any warning, the crowd really get behind Droz. They really sort of just, he does a takedown. And they actually go, yeah! No idea why. No idea why. And he gets another one in round three. And they're just like, fucking yeah! And it's still not good.
No.
I just don't know why the crowd are into it. And then we get Mark Merrow versus Bradshaw. Merrow is back after his loss. Bradshaw is a lot bigger. And you get some funny bits as well where Bradshaw is bullying. So when they're in a clinch, and Bradshaw does a lot of just leaning on people, trying to smother them. And he's killing it stone dead. Yeah. And you suddenly realise, shit, he's actually gassed after 20 seconds. And he's just lying just on people. What you can see is that for Merrow, of course, this is real. A, there's money on the line, and B, it's a thing that he's going, I've had a second chance, I need to do this. And there's a bit where Bradshaw just lays on him by the ropes, and the referee is saying, get off him, get off him, get off him, and Bradshaw isn't moving. He's going, get off him, get off him. And you hear Mark Merrow just really angrily go, fucking break! You know?
Yeah.
And he's just like, stop ruining this!
Yeah.
So fucking gassed Bradshaw at this point. Merrow is just trying to hit him. He can't do the takedowns. And again, that horrible sort of, they just can't, there's no movement in this match. It's so, again, like seeing pissed people in a high street, really super pissed. When they've got to the point where they're pulling their t-shirts, each other's t-shirts over their backs, and they're just doing that. It's like that. It becomes a draw, and Bradshaw is, by the end of it, he's leaning on the rope and he can't even, like, you know, Merrow puts his arm up like, I won that one. And Bradshaw cannot even lift his arms. And they suddenly say, that means it's a draw, so we go to one sudden death round. And you see Bradshaw smile like, oh, fucking hell. Oh, no. They go into this. Bradshaw, just Merrow, he's just hanging on to him. And Merrow comes in. Bradshaw somehow just manages to do a little, you know, he drops him, not with a punch, but with, you know, a leg grapevine, and down goes Merrow. And Merrow, you can see in his face, he's just like, oh no, oh no. And this big sack of shit, Bradshaw wins because of that one takedown.
Right.
This round four in this, I would say, is as bad as 60 seconds of programming that the WWF have ever had on television. I think it's that 60 seconds is the worst WWF output that's ever been on TV. There's no athleticism, there's no energy, there's nothing. It's so shit. I'm sort of pleased that Bradshaw is in what's regarded as being the worst Raw match of all time, where it was him and I think Trish Stratus against Jackie Gaydar and Chris Nowinski, and that I think is seen as being the worst Raw match of all time. This is worse, and it's just Bradshaw. He can't blame anybody else. It's so fucking terrible. We go through to the semi-finals. We have Bart Gunn versus The Godfather. He is now Bart Gunn. Opens with a Bill Clinton impersonator as well, this section. Just joking about, you know, The Godfather's host could be my interns.
Really?
I always watch Raw with Monica. That's the worst joke of all, isn't it?
He said Monica. Woo!
He said Monica. That was good. Did it make sense? Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
it's your dad doing an impression about a health minister.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Like, oh, yeah,
so you put the word cock in there, haven't you?
Like John Prescott. Yeah, it's exactly that one. Godfather in this one doesn't offer his hose, which I like. He goes, oh, mate, I always offer hose at the start of these matches, but not to you. Because
no.
I am going to kick your ass. I like the little angle of The Godfather. I think, you know, that is the only thing that comes out of it creditably. And it slightly goes, oh, yeah, it reminds me, I like wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. It's all new sport. I have no interest in it at all. Godfather starts really, really well. He does get hit a lot in the face. And when he gets knocked down at the end of the second round, he goes down hard and his leg is behind him. And it sort of twists slightly and he goes down. And he sits down. You can see he's obviously saying, I fucked my leg. I've actually, you know, damaged it going down the ligaments or whatever. I've pulled it. And his second just says to him, get up. Get up, he says. I mean, you know, poor fucking sod. Seconds later, he is knocked out.
Yeah.
And it's a proper knockout punch by Bart Gunn. Godfather's out cold, face down on the canvas.
It's what you want to see.
It is what...
Well, I mean, it's. I'm joking. It's not what you want to see. That's a man who, you know, they're not trained for this.
No, they aren't. They aren't. But it is sort of, compared to the Bradshaw one,
yeah,
where he is just a big slug and the whole thing has no action and they just arbitrarily go, it's you.
Yeah.
You do want to see this.
You do want to
and
see this.
Had it been all matches like this, I think people would have been like, it was so irresponsible. Jesus Christ, it was amazing.
They knocked out 8 men.
Godfather says, I was fucked up. I couldn't walk. I had to get in a wheelchair. My leg got infected. Maybe that was the stupidest idea in wrestling right there, because a lot of people did get hurt. It's just madness, isn't it? And then the second semifinal is Bradshaw versus Darren Drozdov. I have one note on this.
Right.
And I actually can't quite remember this match at all. But I've written, Bradshaw is the absolute worst of everyone in this godforsaken mess. And it's inexplicable he won this match. That's what I said. He is so bad in this. He is absolutely the biggest pile of shit. It's so odd to think. He never goes on about the Brawl for All. He's never like, I was a finalist in the Brawl for All. And you realise, because watching it back, you just go, this is a humiliating performance. We get the finals, finally, which are Bart Gunn versus Bradshaw. And
I did want to say this by this point.
I mean, that's what's hard about it, isn't it? It's what's hard about it is Bradshaw is the bully.
Yeah.
And all of the times he's gone through against people that you're like, I don't like Bradshaw at all. I don't like him. But now he's in the final with Bart Gunn.
And Bart Gunn looks a bit tasty. He's had constant knockouts.
If you like seeing Bradshaw get knocked out twice in such a short period of time, yes, and go really glassy eyed and not know where he is at least twice.
Yeah.
Then really this is the match.
Oh, it
for
is
you.
A treat. He goes down, he gets whacked. Oh. And the referee should not be letting him continue.
That is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it is unbelievable. He gets knocked out. He manages to get back up. He does not know where he is.
He does not know where he is. And the thing, maybe it's because he's been so bad in all of the other fights, he just thinks, oh, that's what he's normally like.
Yeah, he's got
slow
that
and lumbering and confused,
like, expressionless face. But he gets up and the referee kind of goes, are you okay? And he just looks at him.
He's like,
like that. And the referee says again, he goes, do you want to carry on? And Bradshaw really slowly nods. He goes, And the referee is like, this guy seems fine. It's so irresponsible.
I'm so glad he gets punched in the face of all over.
After that slow,
Bradshaw.
He gets hit twice more and he is knocked out.
Good night,
even
Bradshaw.
More. For the final, they had Shawn Michaels on commentary, and Shawn Michaels says, take a look at a guy that's just made a name for himself in this business and earned it every step of the way. Jim Ross says he may have opened the door to a new career. Jim Cornette actually has talked about the Brawl for All, which he hates Vince Russo anyway, and he said it's the stupidest idea ever. He made the point of saying, you know, it was an overestimation that wrestling fans wanted to see this sort of shoot fighting.
Mm.
You know, they are two distinct camps, really. A lot of people are wrestling fans or MMA fans. There is crossover, but it's not as big as you'd think. It's not like everyone who likes wrestling likes MMA.
Yeah.
There's a big schism between it. And his point, you know, he was saying that people didn't want this. They didn't want to see people legitimately getting knocked out.
Mm.
He said when Bradshaw got knocked out, it was scary because his eyes obviously weren't there and he twitched a little bit. You could tell even afterwards he just wasn't at home.
He sort of like gets knocked out and he's like kind of, but he's not facing the camera.
No.
Just a bit like,
he doesn't know what he is looking down. There was, I think when we talked about a Brock Lesnar getting a concussion years ago in one of the early WrestleManias, I think maybe 19, he talked about having that concussion and he didn't know where he was, but he thought he was in a very small, dark box rather than being in this massive arena full of 100,000 people.
Mm.
And he was in a very dark, small, quiet box. And that's what Bradshaw's got.
Mm.
He doesn't know there's a crowd there. He doesn't know what's going on. He's forgotten there's a man punching him over there.
Mm.
It's sort of awful. Vince Russo said on Dark Side of the Ring, he said, when I saw Bradshaw getting knocked out, I couldn't hold back those emotions. This whole tournament was because of him and his mouth. And there he was laying on the canvas unconscious. I feel bad because I don't want to see anybody get hit like that. Oh my God, especially now with just all the stuff we know about head trauma.
We knew that stuff back then, mate.
Just knowing all that today, which we didn't know back then, no way, no way would I ever propose it again.
Unless Bradshaw proposed it again.
That would be good. What, of course, happens is Bart Gunn goes on to have a big main event with Stone Cold Steve Austin. They fight for the WWE. Of course
they
don't.
No, they don't. they continue this sorry little episode at WrestleMania.
They do. they decided to make an example of him.
Yep.
Because he'd gone out there and done exactly what they'd asked of him. How was he to know that there were, like in that thing where you go, where you completed the mission, they went, oh, but you know, the thing that you got, that delicious apple, it's actually full of poison.
The princess and in another castle.
Exactly that. And it was the whole thing where they just went, you weren't supposed to do that. You have actually cost us a lot of money by doing exactly what we asked you to in a legitimate way.
Yeah.
And they could have, they could have used fucking worse.
They could have used
Very fucking worst. They could have put him in, give him a Royal Rumble match against Stone Cold Steve Austin for the belt.
Yeah.
And you just set him up as a dangerous shooter. And then you know what? It doesn't work. Fine. Instead, they just went, do you know what, mate? Get out. Don't have another. You don't have another match. You will not have another fucking match, right? What you need to do is start training. Because at WrestleMania, you're going to have another Brawl for All match. You're going to have against trained boxer Butterbean.
Yeah, a man who's had, he is known as a knockout expert. They wanted to see Gunn hurt.
They wanted a knockout. They wanted a knockout. Now Bart Gunn had delivered knockouts, but they wanted a knockout to go, how fucking dare you? And it was seen as being a punishment. Mm. It was a punishment for him, and it was a punishment for him for being the best at fighting in the WWF. Yeah. I mean, it's madness.
Well, I mean, we
it?
Covered it before in WrestleMania, but it is an astonishingly short bit of fighting, and like Butterbean, who is just, you know, he's just a...
It's horrendous.
It's
I mean, the other thing, again, you know, because of that, what you've set up is you set up, see all these guys in the Brawl for All, you know, they all fought, and the one who dominated the whole thing is not as good as a really fat novelty boxer.
Yes.
You know, it's just, why don't you just go, do you know what, shut down the WWF. It's all shit. None of our guys can fight.
Yeah.
They're not hard. It's just a lie. It's a fucking lie. Jim Cornette spoke about Vince Russo and the Brawl for All being, you know, based around the story of him just wanting to see Bradshaw get his comeuppance.
Mm.
And he said, how morally and intellectually bankrupt and irresponsible do you have to be to create a situation where your stars get legitimately injured just to get even with a wrestler who was bragging about how tough he was in the locker room? It was nice to see him get knocked out.
It was. I agree with that. I agree with that, certainly.
Yeah!
Oh, wow!
It's a hard watch, that, isn't it?
it is because it's just.
Hard
I mean,
watch.
You just halfway through the how kind of like weird and kind of incongruous a lot of the stuff is. You know, you're watching men who you've seen, you know, fucking dressed as Johnny B. Good, Johnny B. Bad. You know, this kind of like flamboyant wrestler. Turn, you know, having a legitimate scrap, and then you've got an advert for Skittles.
Yeah.
You've got an advert for Fully Loaded, sponsored by Skittles.
Yeah.
It's like, where's this going?
It is horrible. Now, I mean, there is a part of me that, having seen this, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. If they said we're doing it again tomorrow, I would go, I am watching that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
There is something about it that's fascinating. It's slightly like CM Punk going to UFC. You know, if CM Punk said I'm having another MMA fight, I would be like, I am watching that.
Yeah.
But would I want to see two people at CM Punk's level have a match? No. I want to see at least one professional in there. Ideally, I'd like to see one professional against Bradshaw.
Yes. I would like to see three small wrestlers punching Bradshaw on the nads.
Oh, man.
Rubbish.
Would I suggest watching that? Do you know what? It's not even all in one place on the network. If you type in Brawl for All, it does bring up various matches.
Mm.
But it's really one of the things that the WWF have never reclaimed.
Mm.
They've reclaimed the fucking gobbledygooker. But the Brawl for All is just one of those things that they're just like, it sits in a drawer. We don't draw attention to it. You know, don't mention it. Just let's all move on. Oh, man. But look, if you get a chance to watch it, don't.
Don't bother.
Just look at the Bart Gunn, Dr. Death Steve Williams one on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then the Bart Gunn versus Bradshaw one.
Yeah, that's all you need to watch.
It really is. Yeah. Just watching mean men, cruel bully men.
This is
being
the first
wrecked.
Wrestle Me of the new year, Mark.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, we started as we mean to go on.
Thank you very much for all of you Patreon members and subscribers for getting involved. It's been emotional.
It has. And we're going to do something quite interesting in 2021, which is we're actually doing Shoot Wrestle Me.
Yes.
So every time you listen to this, we will come around and just punch you in the back of the head. The rabbit punch.
Bang. See you later. Good night.
Good night.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, me.
This was a Stakhanov production.